You can open up your Bibles to the book of John. So I got to tell you, when you're like speaking in church, there are a few days you want to make sure and get right. Nobody tells you this, but you've got that feeling. Like Christmas, you want to do a good job at Christmas. Easter, I think we did pretty good at Easter time. Well, Mother's Day is one of those days. Now, like I said, my mom and my mother-in-law are both in the room. So if all of you could do me a favor, and if I say anything that is even remotely funny, if you could just laugh, except for my own children, but that would be most helpful. It's great having my whole family is here, and so this is fantastic seeing them all in church together. So much fun! I thank you. I had a chance to graduate with my master's over the weekend. Thank you. So I appreciate all the congratulations people have been given and all that. So thank you very much. That was a lot of fun. And as I told Patricia and Val this morning, I was like, yeah, I sat down and I thought, this better not be boring because I'm going to fall asleep if it is. Because by the time you get to the graduation, you're just tired. You're just like, okay. So for this morning, if you're feeling that way, it's okay. I understand. If you're like, you know, this better be good or I'm falling asleep, I get that. So we just began a series called The Way, and we're going to kind of lean into unpacking a little reflection on that from last week, but I want to start by reading something from the book of John, chapter 1. And so we're going to start John chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. So this is like the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it says here, in chapter 1, verse 35, the next day, John, John the Baptist. The next day, John was there again, down baptizing people with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him, and it was about 4 in the afternoon. Now Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." That is the Christ. "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. Are you following all these names? Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth. "Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. This is like the really bad town, whichever town that is that pops into your head. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man." Come and see. So as I said, we just started a series called The Way, looking at what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. Last week we talked about if you may not know this, but the early church was actually called followers of the way. If you read the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul talks, he's going to go arrest these people, these followers of the way. It wasn't until later in the city of Antioch that the followers of Jesus were called Christians. So originally they were called followers of the way, people who were following Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and people followed Jesus. And we talked about how loaded that word is, "follow me," how that is a call to discipleship, to apprenticeship. Following Jesus is more than just showing up and learning something. It's being all in an apprentice to Jesus. So when Jesus replied, the disciples came and said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and you will see." It's an invitation to an experience, not an invitation to a lecture. They wanted to be with him, and Jesus was inviting them to be with him, to be actively involved with him, to follow him, to get his dust on them as they spent day and night following him around, learning to be like him. Because the three goals of every disciple, so three goals of every disciple of Jesus, is to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. For everyone who is a follower of Jesus, this is what we need to do. Be with Jesus, be like Jesus, do what Jesus did. When Jesus was calling people to be followers, to be disciples, to be apprentices, this is what he was calling them to spend time with him, to learn how he approached everything, and to do the things that he did. So that's kind of what we're unpacking, and we are just going to kind of rest with being with Jesus, because this is... Everything starts with that, being with Jesus. Even if you are not a follower of Jesus, if you're just, you know, you're in church today because mom said I needed to come to church today, you know, even if that were you, just know everything starts with being with Jesus. Because how else are you going to find out about him unless you're spending some time with him? But we are not in first century Israel. In case that's a surprise to you. Any of you first century Israelites? No, you are not. No. No, you're not. None of us are first century Israelites. So how do we be with Jesus? How does that look for you and I today as we are wandering through dealing with all the hustle and bustle of our lives, dealing with commutes? They didn't have a whole lot of commutes they dealt with. Dealing with getting our order wrong at Starbucks, you know, didn't have to deal with that. You know, dealing with children, they had the children thing going on and had relationships, but we are not there. And so how do we do that today? And so Jesus was so smart, actually dealt with this. So if you flip over to John chapter 14, Jesus gives us this answer. So this is like Jesus is heading towards crucifixion. He, you know, we've had the Last Supper. He is headed that direction, and he is doing some teaching with his followers, and he's giving them some instructions, some final words. He prays with them. He's like, okay, here's what's coming. Here's what, you know, I want you to remember this, remember that, remember all these things. And so Jesus, he started, and we're going to look at John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, and it says this, "And I will ask the Father," so he's talking to his followers, "I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And so if you're like, okay, what does that mean? You go down a little further to verses 25, and it says this, "All this I have spoken while still with you." He's like, okay, I am here, we're having a conversation, all this I've spoken to you while still with you. "But the advocate," this is where he lets him know, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And so as he's going along here, he's like, okay, you have been following me, and I'm going to give you, and this is really interesting. So the word the words they use there, and many of you, if you have a different translation or you grew up in the church, you might, your Bible might say instead of advocate, might say comforter, might say, there's some of the other words were, comforter, helper, advocate. So it's this idea of someone who's there to help. But it's what's interesting, it's the word before that, which is easy to speak, to pass over. It says, I will give you another advocate, another comforter, another helper. And what's fascinating about this another is not something different. Like if I'm going to give you another pair of glasses, I've got these, somebody gives me another pair. Well, if they're not the same kind of glasses, then they're different. But if they're, my daughter picked out glasses for me. My wife told me I look a little, I believe her word was hipster. I don't know. Except I needed a beanie cap or something like that. But, and so I needed glasses to see the notes here. And so I'm like, okay, I got to have glasses. So I need another pair. So I found my prescription size at the little reader section in Costco, got the prescription size, and they were similar to the ones I had. They're another glass. So they were an easy trade out because they're the exact same prescription, same thing. The same word is used here, that same idea, where Jesus has said, the Father is going to send you another advocate, another helper, another comforter. It's one just like me. Another of the same kind. You could say, it is just literally, he's going to send you another one of me. The exact same kind. This is what the Holy Spirit is. Jesus is talking to him, saying, hey, I'm leaving, but your following doesn't stop with me leaving. I'm sending you another of the same kind to be with you so that you can continue to follow me. But the question then is, what does that look like for us? How do we follow if he's gone and we have this Holy Spirit? Well, and now we're actually going to get to the passage of Scripture that the whole thing is on today, is John chapter 15. So in John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, Jesus is talking here, and all of a sudden he starts talking a little farming language here. And he says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, did you catch the word that stood out there? What was one word that just kept repeating again and again and again? Remain, remain, remain. In 9 verses, if you go all the way down to verse 15, it appears 12 times, this word, remain, 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 remain. This word remain is the Greek word meno. And what it means is, remain, or abide. Some of you, your translation might say abide. It can also mean stay at home in. It's this whole idea of I'm going to be here. Now, I mentioned my kids are home. It's great. My oldest son and daughter. It's so funny because my son's been gone for a while, and my wife mentioned at her drama club thing this last week that she had a son, and half the kids are like, what? You got a son? Where'd that come from? But you're like, no, he's my oldest, so if you haven't met him yet, my only son is here too. And so it's great. They are here visiting. They are not remaining. They're going to go back to wherever it is they've gone and stay there. No, they're going to come back and visit again. But they are not remaining. It's great having my mom. No, I won't say that. It's great. But mom's not remaining, which is sad. That's sad, mom. But remaining is this whole idea of not just visiting, not just hanging out, not just passing through. It is actually staying, camping out, living there, being present. And this is a huge thing because so often as we walk in our following Jesus lives, we often will kind of this intersection with following Jesus tends to be an intersection. I'm here, it's Sunday, it's Wednesday, it's the event, whatever, and I've hit this, and now I'm moving on to the rest of my life. And here Jesus is saying, okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to remain, remain, remain. You need to abide. You need to live in me. As you live in me, I will live in you. You need to remain, remain, remain. And to drive the point home even more, he begins to talk about this, you know, a vine growing branches. I noticed yesterday and the day before, you know, the apple tree out back, and it's the apple trees as you drive down and around the area, they've got the blossoms. And it's exciting because that means the fruit is coming. Why is the fruit coming? Because it's attached to the tree. If we cut the branch off, the fruit's not coming. But it's attached to the tree, and so it produces, ideally, if it's a healthy tree, fruit. And so Jesus, as he's talking to his followers, like, hey, you need to remain in me, abide in me, stay at home in me, and I will stay at home in you. And then, you know what you will do? You will produce much fruit. Now, we're going to unpack the much fruit a little bit more next week, because I want to stay on this remain thing for a little bit here, because what does it mean to remain? Now, over the centuries, as people have followed Jesus, there have been different views and different approaches to this. So the Apostle Paul, when he wrote about this concept, this same thing, he said, pray without ceasing. This is what it looks like. As you go through life, pray without ceasing. The early Christians, they called it contemplation. It was this whole idea of in everything you do, you're having this contemplative attitude towards everything else. You're meditating throughout all that you do. There was this guy named Brother Lawrence who was a 17th century monk who I'll let you know a little bit more about him in a bit, but I love the way he described it. He called it the practice of the presence of God. And so the whole idea of remaining is this idea of, okay, I'm here at home, and I'm in the presence of God. It's like being a mom. You're in two places at once. You know, I am in Starbucks line getting my coffee, and I'm in the presence of God. I'm in a stressful meeting that everything is going wrong, and I'm still in the presence of God, even if it's a little difficult. You know, I am doing all the hectic day-to-day things of life, and I'm in the presence of God. It's this whole idea, as we follow Jesus, this thing of being with Jesus, that when we are here, and we are with God. We are in the presence of God. Both of them at the same time. And this is a thing that a lot of followers of Jesus kind of don't realize is an important piece of it. It's such an essential piece to following Jesus, because how else can you become like Jesus, get to know Jesus, do what he did, unless we spend time with him. Unless we are remaining in his presence. Because this is how it is done. This is what it means to be with Jesus. So I mentioned Brother Lawrence earlier. So Brother Lawrence was, he was a 17th century monk. Now, he was not a priest. He was actually a foot soldier who was wounded. He lived in France in the mid-1660s, somewhere in there. He was wounded, and he had this encounter with God and decided to join a monastery. So this is not a call for y'all to join a monastery. But he lived a very simple life. He had a lot of difficulty because he was wounded. After he passed away, some people took some of his sayings and some of the letters he had written, because people would come and talk to him and get advice, and they put them together in a book. I got the book on Amazon for 99 cents. So I would say it's like a super fast read. So if you want to read it, get it. It's really interesting. It's just some things, some of his reflections on following Jesus. On living this life. But he makes this great quote that says, "The time of business does not with me differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees before the Blessed Sacrament." And so what Brother Lawrence is saying here, so like I said, he worked in the kitchen, and he served monks. So he's like, okay, so as I'm in the kitchen serving a bunch of hungry monks, and there's clatter and there's noise around, that is the same to me as being on my knees during the time of communion. As we are, you know, receiving, because he was Catholic, when he'd receive communion, calling it the Blessed Sacrament, that's the same for him as working in the kitchen. And as you read his writings, he talks about the same thing. Is like, he's like, I'm having this difficulty, because he had difficulties walking. I'm having this difficulty, but I present it to the Lord. I'm having this, and I present it to the Lord. It's this idea of practicing the presence of God wherever we go. Whether we are here, or we're on the road, whether we're dealing with crying, screaming, whatever's chaotic of life, of knowing that his presence can be with us wherever we go. This is what Jesus was trying to talk to his disciples about and getting them to understand. We need to remain in him. To remain in him. As followers of Jesus, like the fruit tree needs the tree to produce fruit, we need to remain in him. This is so essential to our following Jesus. Last week we talked about Jesus saying that he wanted to, all people who are burdened and heavy laden, come to him and I will give you rest. That thing that we need, the life that people needs, that life is found in the abiding. It's found in the remaining. Remaining in him, abiding in him, living in him. The life the world so desperately needs. The peace that people are looking for. When news gets bad, when the purposes of everything just seem to be falling apart, you know, it's not in the facts of Jesus, because I know I could sit down with many of you and you could give me lots of facts of Jesus. And there's lots of people who could do that. It's not found in that. In more information, I mean, sure, it's great getting a master's, but it doesn't matter how much I know. I could, like, you know, give you, look up Greek words all day long. That doesn't matter, really. Because if I don't remain in Jesus, all the knowledge in the world is worthless to me. All the knowledge in the world is worthless without remaining. Life is found in the remaining, in the abiding, in the dwelling with Jesus. Like I said, it's not a lecture. We don't need more information to start. We just show up and follow the way. You don't even have to have a huge task list to do it. It's just remaining, abiding, dwelling with, living in Jesus. It's not even, doesn't even have to be complicated. I love, so many years ago there was a TV show, some of you may remember it, 60 Minutes, I don't know if it's still a show or not, but there was a guy named Dan Rather. I never watched it, but I knew about it. And Dan Rather one time interviewed Mother Teresa. And so he was asking her all sorts of questions. And one of the things he asked her this, he said, when you pray, what do you say? She just kind of looked at him and said, I don't say anything. I listen. Okay. So when you pray, what does God say to you? And she looked at him and said, he doesn't say anything. He listens. And then she went on to say, and she says, and if you can't understand that, I'm sorry. I can't explain it to you. And you know, there is something to be said, yes, about the conversation with God, because the Bible is full of these moments of people crying out to God and God hearing their cries. But I think sometimes we are so busy talking and going. And sometimes we need to just remain, abide. I like the word abide better, I think, because it just feels restful. And just be at home in Jesus. This is part of what following Jesus is all about. Because as he said, as we remain in him, he will remain in us. And we will produce much fruit. Remain in him. So this morning, and we're gonna close with a song here in a few minutes, but I have two things I really want you to take away with you today. And you ever have like the long-term goals and the short-term goals? So I know, and this is not like one of those guilt trip kind of things. But we all know that I say me just as much as anyone, we all have these things in our lives that keep us from abiding, remaining, dwelling with Jesus. We know this. I mean, I could ask any one of you, and you'd be like, yeah, there are these things in my life that really should go. And so, as a piece of a long-term goal, over the next, because we're working through a process here as we talk about being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus does. Part of being with Jesus, as I said, we need to remain, abide, rest. And so I want to implore you over the next days, weeks, months even, to look at your life and say, okay, what are things in my life that I don't actually need? And I know I could ask any one of you, probably be able to answer some of these things immediately. You're like, yeah, I don't need that. But then I'm like, this is probably keeping me from remaining in Jesus. I could get rid of that. And I'm not asking you, for those of you type A overachiever personalities, please do not rewire your entire life this week. Don't do it. Please don't, like, okay, I'm going to get rid of all this stuff and add all these things. Don't, because I know I can be like that sometimes. I'm like, I'm changing everything. You know, a little bit of garlic is good in a meal. The whole clove is even better. I am that kind of person at times. So please, I'm giving you permission to take your time to, like, slow down and look at your life and say, okay, and you can have a conversation with God about it and say, okay, what are some things in my life that I need to start this is not giving me the life God wants for me. And this is not. And just doing your best to eliminate them. And you know, and maybe you could just like, okay, I'm going to eliminate this so that I can remain with Jesus a little bit. And so over the course of the next days, weeks, months of just looking at this, what can I do? But then this week, so last week, my challenge for everyone was to take a moment and just rest. And so I'm going to up it just a little bit for us all this week. And so my challenge for all of us is, because I know we can all come up with 10 minutes. I mean, we can, 10 minutes. 10 minutes a day. I know. Trust me, you can do it. I believe in you. I believe in your powers. 10 minutes to just remain with Jesus. You don't have to. I'm gonna give you permission. You don't have to get your Bible out and read it. You don't even necessarily have to pray. Just stop. Breathe. Breathing is good. Breathe. And abide. Remain with Jesus. You can read your Bible. You can pray. Or you can just stop. And like, okay, I'm going to do this. I can do this. 10 minutes. Even if it's in the shower. You can do this. So this week, 10 minutes. Long term, just begin to pray and look at your life. Say, what is it in my life that's keeping me from abiding, remaining in Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us and that you are here with us. You are our hope, you are our life, and that even as Jesus said, I'm here with you, I will be with you, I will remain in you as you remain in me. We just thank you that you are in us. And Lord, I just pray for everyone here this morning. Just I know that there is, this world is full of anxiety, of rush and haste and stress. And so, Father, we just pray that in this moment that your peace, which passes all understanding, would rest upon us, would rest upon this community here, would just reverberate out from us to those around us, that we would just be able to remain in you, to rest in you, to abide in you. Lord, we thank you so much for that. And just for those who this morning, this is feeling a little heavy. This is like, I don't know if I can do this. There's just, I can't handle the quiet. Lord, right now, I just pray that you just bring your healing and the peace. And Lord, I just in this moment, I feel very strongly that you want me to pray for those who are just, the quiet, the peace scares them and is more noisy than the chaos. And Lord, I just pray that you would just bring healing to those this morning who may be feeling that. Just know that you can be found, and the healing that they need can be found in the remaining in you. Thank you so much for who you are, all that you bless us with. Help us to do this, Lord. Help us to take whatever the next step is as we follow you and build our lives upon you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.